The following talk and meditation was recorded at the Bhajai Centre on the 27th of November 2022 by Reverend Rhonda Murray.
So, as Julian said, yesterday wasn't a good day in the shopping centres or on the roads. I mean, I wasn't near a shopping centre, but boy, the roads were enough. All because we take on strange customs from America. You know, in the USA, Thanksgiving Day is always the Thursday of that week. And because Thanksgiving is the day that families tend to get together much more so than Christmas, so people take the Friday off and have a four-day weekend home with their families. And so to tempt them into the stores, businesses in America have Black Friday with all the, you know, half price specials and what have you. So what do? We take on the Black Friday and the sales, but we don't do Thanksgiving Day. Like, excuse me, why do we do all the negative things over the Americans? Like wearing caps back to front in our climate that needs shade on the face. And what our young ones pick up in speech and in entertainment. But we've actually turned the tables right now, this Thanksgiving, with our friend Bluey. Now, I don't know if you've seen the cartoon Bluey. I'm sure parents of young children have seen the cartoon Bluey. It's one of my favourite shows. I just love Bluey. Bluey and her sister and her parents, who, do you realise, live right here in Paddington. Have you looked at the background? It's all the houses in Paddington. Run Red Hill, yes. And it's very Australian, but there's a lot of really good messages hidden away in what's basically a cartoon. Cartoon in the sense of it's drawn, it's animated, it's not real. But even the voices, the actors who are providing the voices are becoming superstars. Because what happened for the Macy's Thanksgiving parade this year? There was Bluey, a huge balloon up above their heads. And Bluey the stage musical is touring the whole of the United States at the moment. So I think it's lovely that we're actually influencing the children of America and the UK. And guess what? They're even saying they're going to the Dunny. How good's that? And Bluey has a lot of good messages for children, things that are worth watching with your children or your grandchildren to just, there's good points for discussion. Now, one that particularly comes to mind for me, not that I'm a football fan, is that when it's the state of origin football, you know, we in Queensland are all on the same side, right? So the Maori people, friends come to, and they watch it together and it's all wonderful. But it was a bit confusing for Bluey and her sister when they had the, what is it when Australia plays New Zealand? What's that called? The Bledisloe Cup. And suddenly their New Zealand friends were on the other side. They, you know, they weren't barracking for the same side at all. And I thought that was a great lesson in looking at the similarities we have and the differences. And, you know, I think it's something that our world, certainly the Western world, certainly Australia, is going through at the moment of accepting that differences don't matter, that we're all part of the human family. And some of the lessons learnt may be very painful and disastrous, but I really think that the world is starting to learn that story. So what if we did take on the best Americanism of all, Thanksgiving Day? I mean, if we're going to have Black Friday, please can we have Thanksgiving dinner and have families come together as well? We would benefit by changing our focus from what we want, what we wish, to appreciation of what we already have. Giving thanks for the many blessings we enjoy would help us to open to greater blessings. And one of the nice customs in America on Thanksgiving Day is that before they eat, they go around the table and everybody says something that they are thankful for. And what a lovely custom that would be to introduce for our families. Of course, we can always start a gratitude list and think for ourselves what we're grateful for. Now, sometimes we know exactly what it is that we want, what we want to draw into our lives. And, you know, one of the things we teach in Unity is visualization and, you know, getting in every little detail clear and visualizing it and giving thanks for it before we get it. And just as an example, I remember when my friend Gwen drove an old car and very much wanted to be in a financial position to buy a new one. To access, because she lived on the Redcliffe Peninsula, those of you who are local will know that to get from Brisbane to Redcliffe, you drive over what is actually Australia's longest bridge, 2.7 kilometres. And so she decided that as she was driving across the bridge, she would start being grateful for the car that she had, and she would bless it, and she would think of all the things that it blessed her life, you know, that she could get around, all the things that were good about the car that she had. And it takes quite a while to drive across that bridge, as I reckon you've probably all been across that bridge once or twice, and you'd be aware of that. And she kept that up until she was able to give thanks as she drove across the bridge for her new car, the exact make, model, colour and everything else that she'd been visualising at driving across the bridge. Now, we could call that a form of affirmative prayer. And in that particular case, Gwen was clear what new model of car she wanted, and she got it. But detail is not always necessary. Sometimes we may not really know what it is we want, but we do know that we want something to change. I saw a lovely cartoon yesterday of a cat saying, "There's only two things I don't like, change and things staying the same." I thought that applies to quite a few of us. If we're clear about what we want, if we're confident that it's the right path for us, we can go ahead and visualize that end result and give thanks for it in advance. But sometimes we might know our highest good. We just want something to change for the better. Then it's best to surrender to spirit and let the good be established in divine order. And it may be greater good than anything we could have visualized for ourselves. I sometimes hear people saying they are praying hard about something. If they're praying hard, that's not praying with faith, that's praying affirming the fact that this is so hard that it's not going to happen. And so we can slip into negative prayer. If we truly turn to the gift of faith within us, we don't need to pray hard, but to trust. In fact, praying hard might be blocking a good outcome because of the energy we're giving to the problem. It's really praying without faith in a good outcome. So can there be such a thing as negative prayer? Can prayer actually be affirming a situation that is causing anxiety? Vera Dawson Tate, one of the great Unity ministers and authors of the 20th century, writes in her book, Take Command, we may allow ourselves to be driven by negative experiences resulting from fears about ourselves, about others, fears about our job, fears about our social relations, fears about our finances. And, you know, that's not going to lead to our highest good. We're affirming the problem. In Unity, we teach affirmative prayer, affirming the truth behind the appearance. So affirming life and wholeness rather than giving power to the illness. Affirming substance manifesting rather than being caught up in the lack. Affirming peace, harmony, love in relationships that don't seem to be demonstrating these things. I think it's important to check whether we're really using affirmative prayer, giving our energy to the highest good, or whether we are giving energy to the challenge. I was the youngest of 10 kids, and my mother thought that it was a mother's duty to worry. And so when we were out at night, and believe you me, I was out at night a lot as a teenager because I had my own dance band and traveling around country dance halls, you know, playing until 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the morning and then packing up and driving home. I was pretty late home. She was always still awake. She didn't go to sleep until she knew everybody was tucked up in bed. When I had my kids, I decided I wasn't going to do that. I just couldn't see the sense in it. You'd hear if there was a problem, hey? And so my agreement I made with my teenagers was they could call me at any time of the night from anywhere and I would simply come and pick them up, no questions asked, no comments made, and I often picked them up from nightclubs that they weren't old enough to be in. But I never once commented on it. And they would come and fill the car with all their mates and we would drive back to the coast where we lived and I'd drop all the kids off at their houses, pull into the garage, say goodnight to the boys and go back to sleep, go back to bed and go back to sleep. But I certainly hadn't laid awake waiting for that call. Actually, one night we had a call about 2 o'clock in the morning and a little female voice said, "Is Lindsay home?" And I said, "I wouldn't have the faintest idea." And she said, "Oh, Mrs. Murray, did I wake you up?" And I said, "No, it's my custom at 2 o'clock in the morning to sit in the middle of the lounge room floor and cut my toenails." Don't ask me where that came from, but I know it went into the teenage lexicon. And it was always, "Don't ring Mrs. Murray late, she gets cross." One of the ways that I find this negative, positive prayer dilemma is often with parents of teenage children, not even teenage children, adult children, that children that might be 30 or 40 or 50 years old. And because they have a situation that's causing them some anxiety, the parent, particularly the mother, I find, takes on that anxiety and puts a lot of negative energy into the situation. And I seem to spend a fair bit of counselling time suggesting to people that maybe it would work out better for their family if they would just release and let go, to just not even think about what's their highest good. Because you know what? We have enough trouble for knowing what our own highest good is. We certainly don't know what anybody else's highest good is, including our children. And just an example of that recently was a daughter who needed to sell a house. And the anxiety about it was quite amazing. And after the mother and I had had a session, the house actually, there was a contract written within days. The really funny part was, I've only found out since, that when they started worrying about whether the contract was going to go through, it held the whole thing up, and it's still not through. And that was about 10 days ago. You know, it's just such proof to me that you just affirm the highest good for your kids. Don't add negative energy to the situation. I think the same thing goes for concern for the country, the planet, the environment, all the creatures on the environment. You know, I think we'll do better for actually doing a little bit positive in our part of the world than adding negative energy to what's happening globally. So I believe in the importance of letting go the fear first, using our power of release to release the anxiety, to release the fear that it's not going to work out right. Reverend James Gaither wrote about a visualization process in the Unity magazine many years ago. And I had a dilemma that I knew I had to move on to the next stage of my life, but I really didn't know how I was going to do it. And what Jim Gaither suggested was choose a special day, a few weeks, a couple of months into the future, when we know where we're going to be and what we're going to be doing, something sort of that's special that we can actually build this visualization process on. And it happened that in a couple of months' time, there was a family wedding coming up, well, nearly family. And I decided that would be a good time to use for visualization, because what Jim suggested was take yourself forward to this particular time that you can actually add some details, think of yourself as being there. And then look back to the current day. So, of course, every day when you do the process, you're looking back to a closer day. And you don't spend that time trying to work out what the steps in between are or what you have to do or what's going to happen. And I just took that on as a process with no idea what the outcome was going to be. But visualizing, and funnily enough, visualizing sitting at a table with a white cloth and nice glasses and silver cutlery and telling these close friends, who are more like family than friends, about what I was doing next, the next thing I was going, you know, my new plans. And of course, that doesn't happen at a wedding. It never even occurred to me. But it did happen the night before the wedding. We were all there, and friends and close family, we all went out for dinner at a nice hotel. And there was the white cloth and the glasses and the silver cutlery. And there was I telling them about my new life that was starting the very next day. That had just come about through a series of just things I couldn't have anticipated. But it's like it all just fell into place in quite amazing ways. And so by the time I sat at that table, I knew exactly what I was doing. So do we set goals, visualize the end we want, work out the steps that need to be taken and work determinedly to make it happen? Or do we give thanks for what is and affirm that greater good is ours in divine time and divine order? In the book of Job, we read, "You will decide on a matter and it will be established for you." We need to ask ourselves, what do I choose to bring about by my thoughts and feelings, my beliefs? Sometimes we just need to be willing to surrender to spirit and let the highest good be established in divine order and divine timing. We talk in Unity about release as releasing fear, anger, negative beliefs. But sometimes it's good to use that power of release to let go of our own determination to manifest what we think we want or what we think is best for others. Is it possible that sometimes our determination to make something happen just how we want it is actually blocking greater good? If something that we've been praying for is not happening, it could be that we're praying for the wrong thing. Perhaps it's time to let it go and be open to a different outcome. Perhaps it's time to surrender to spirit. Perhaps it's time to use our power of release to let go of old dreams and to be willing to let spirit establish new good. Let's make this week of Thanksgiving, well, if it's Thursday, I guess it's a week from Thursday to Thursday, a time to be grateful for the blessings we already have. And let's also be open to greater good, giving thanks in advance for good that we might not even be able to visualize. There's a very wise old saying in Unity, "This or something better, Lord." Could there be something better waiting for us to be ready to accept it? Let's take time in the silence to be thankful for what we have and also to be open to the something better. Let's take time to be in that special quiet place within our own consciousness. And I invite you to give thanks and to be open to new good. So I invite you to give your body permission to relax. Shrug off any tension in the shoulders, the hands, the feet. Just be aware of the life force flowing through every cell of the body, through every organ. Just know anything that may be expressing as an imperfection there comes from a blueprint of perfect health, perfect wholeness. And let's affirm that for our body temple. And let's take our attention to the heart center, the seat of love. And feel the vibration of love that is right there within our own heart. Let your whole being be filled with that vibration of love. And then let it flow out to dear ones, family, friends, those we care about, to fly out into the atmosphere to all who are in any need of prayer right now. And let's see, not their challenge, not their problem, but the good that is already theirs. And we affirm that good. And we know that truth of life and love and wisdom for them. And as we give thanks for the good that we already enjoy, let's also surrender to good that is yet to be seen and to be thankful for that in advance. So let's just sit in the quiet for a minute or two and know this truth for ourselves. You may like to sit on quietly if you wish.